Storm of the century, they say. Oh, this is a high stakes moment for the weather people. Everybody's just on edge, right? If you have to travel outside of your house for even 10 minutes, actually, even if you're in your house, right? Because who's not afraid of losing power? I don't care if I freeze. Just don't take away my Disney Plus. You know what I'm saying?
Don't take away my TV.
Don't take away TV from me while I'm trying to be inside, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't ruin my holidays.
This storm better deliver.
That's what I'm saying.
The way you're talking about it?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want it to deliver. I hope it's a complete non-factor. I hope that all the weather people have to eat it. But that's what I'm saying. It's high stakes. If nothing happens, people will be happy, but then they're going to come for the weather people. Like, this is an intense moment. One of those weather people is Ben Ennis.
So you're taking my corner. Do not talk about the weather. That's my thing. I have a big, 10-minute weather rant coming up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil my weather takes.
You don't want to spoil it? You don't want to ruin what your thoughts are on the storm of the century?
Yeah, cumulonimbus.
Can you believe this, though? It's literally like, hey, when are you guys trying to travel for the holidays? Oh, those 2 days? Yeah. Okay, that's cool. That's when we're going to make it the worst. All surrounding days, completely fine. Nothing's going to happen around the other days. Just the two that everyone needs to move. Just those ones.
Yeah.
Everything else is fine.
No, it's going to be like 7 degrees and sunny, like the middle of next week. But no, today, tomorrow, Saturday, minus 15 and sideways falling ice.
This is where I get religious, dude. This is where I get like, is Noah's Ark stuff. This is God's angry. I'd be the dumbest peasant, you know? Like, this is me back in, basically every time before now, where if you had a drought, people went, oh, well, we got to sacrifice somebody because it's obviously Tim's fault, you know? He's been not praying enough, so time to sacrifice Tim. I'd be the number one guy in the mob the first day, you know? The first day that the snowstorm...
Well, I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're the guy being sacrificed,
true.
Right? So, you got to be the most vocal about...
Don't you think, though, if you make yourself really seen up at the front, that it does... Yeah. If the sacrifice doesn't work out... Mm-hmm. The people will look to you next.
Nah.
You got it wrong.
Nobody ever... No, like, it's... You know what? Here's a good, parallel. Okay. That the people that started the sacrifices were held to the same level of scrutiny as the weather people in modern times. That nobody cared, right? It's like they would burn the witch, and then it's like, things are still the same. Nothing changed. Oh, well.
Work.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Better luck next time. Yeah. Same with the weather people. We already had one of these. It was supposed to be a nightmare, right? I did the show from home because I was afraid of traveling on the roads. Look out my window. Not even raining. Like, nothing.
Yeah, but now
like,
you're messing with people's holiday. People are already stressed out around the holidays, right? You're already, for those of you that don't know, it's supposed to be crazy storm the next couple of days, by the way. And for those of you listening that don't live in Toronto, because there are those, I shouldn't be so disrespectful. The podcast audience is vast. For this show, especially when it's good hour with Ennis.
Yeah.
There's a crazy snowstorm coming. It's basically, again, it's Noah's Ark type stuff for, you're not allowed to leave. Basically, the next 48 hours. No driving, no nothing. No, we'll see. We will see. But, the weather people, they are in one. Because they're celebrities today, right? What should we do, weather people? Oh, and they go, batten down the hatches. Try to avoid the roads. Oh, thank you, whoa, wise ones. And then, adding this stress around the holiday season when you're not sure if you got your gifts right. Maybe you don't even have them done. When do you do gifts? When do you start? Because you're not a good shopper. You're not a good...
No, my wife does all the gifts.
But what do you do for your wife?
Well... That's
okay. So that's there. We that's nice. Merry Christmas. that's real swell of you. it's fine. It's December 22nd, and there's no time for anything for you to change anything now. But that's really nice. You're gonna give her one of those cards. Yeah. You're gonna give her one of those cards. Hey, you get 10 free massages from Ben. Gross.
No, the gas stations are open. She really needs a couple of new air
gas cards. You just buy her gift cards for gas. That's nice. You should do that. That'll be good. What a Merry Christmas in your home. What a warm, loving house.
No, I can't. Yeah.
Don't you feel shame? Don't you feel shame when it comes around? It's your turn and you have nothing to offer.
No, because we had a handshake agreement that no gifts between us. Okay.
Okay. So
we did that. We said,
who initiated this agreement?
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Is it? It's hard to say.
Because it's just kind of like a mutual agreement.
Yeah. Somebody who knows your wife, I wouldn't think that's something.
Like stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't think she would be coming up to you in the middle of the day going, Ben,
don't buy stuff
for our house or for me specifically. No, yeah. The guy who never buys anything. I'm pretty sure. Are you wearing your free Raptors championship T-shirt that we got for the station? Yeah, that's what I thought.
But so what? I'm wearing sweatpants.
No, like, I'm not. It's not about fashion. It's about frugality, let's say.
Do I also like have a winter coat that is a Sportsnet winter coat that I just had like a new zipper put onto it instead of buying a new coat? Because
that's a smart move, though. That's smart.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that. That's smart. Why would you buy a new coat if it's only and that coat's awesome? That's a really nice coat.
It's great.
You and there's just a couple people around the building that somehow they did one outdoor event. It's just its timing. Every once in a while, there's
new people in wardrobe.
Yeah, that is nice too. You did it. Yeah, exactly. You did it shadier. But every once in a while, there's just people in the building who will luck their way into doing one outdoor event, and then Sportsnet will give them incredible free clothing. It's just I've only been offered, these are the things that I've been offered Sportsnet branded wise: ball cap, watch from the 90s, which. You've been offered as well.
I've never even seen this watch.
You've never seen those old Fan 590 watches?
No.
They're actually disgusting. Like, think about if you're listening to this, you had a dad who's a boomer and they didn't have a nice watch. That's the watch it was.
Oh yeah, my dad has the fabric. He like took the old band off his watch. And put, like,
that's
the
a different move.
With the Velcro on it. That's what he has.
No, see, that was a different one. There's basically two boomer watches in my eyes. There's that.
Casio?
Yeah, and then the Casio. The metal, silver, you look at it and go, that is gross. Like, it's just disgusting. That's not good. Sorry for those of you that are looking at yours right now, you fathers who are looking at it going, my son gave me this. Your son is cheap and he should have done better by you. That's what I think. Anyway, do you want to? I'm going to do a thought on Siakam later. Do you want to do a thought on it, or you want me to move on? Because I'm doing it later on the podcast.
Well, I mean, the only thought that I have is that this is a guy. Excuse me. Over the last couple of weeks, we've all come to grips with the idea that this Raptors team is probably going to look different in the middle of February than the way it looks right now. But how deep do you want to do the cutting? And I think it's, you know, despite the age gap between Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes, who's another conversation altogether, and getting benched at the end of that game is, it's been a very up and down year, I would say, for Scottie Barnes.
It's been down. You want a Scottie Barnes stat? This is from Josh Lewinberg. I saw that my old podcast mate at school. Scottie Barnes, team worst minus 16 in a game that the Raptors won by 7. That's not a good stat. That's a pretty tough stat. But it gets worse. He's a negative plus minus. I'm not a basketball plus minus guy, by the way, because I think that one game samples are the dumbest thing ever. I actually should say that I have Leafs talk today, this afternoon, and I'm bringing in Ian Tulloch. And this is something I always got mad at him for, is he loved doing Leafs game reports with one game Leaf stats, where you'd go, here's their one game coursing. I would say, this is the dumbest thing alive. But in his last 9 games, Scottie Barnes has been a negative. In 11 of his last 12, he's been a negative. Over that stretch, right, the 12 games, he's minus 84. Nobody else on the team is worse than minus 41, which, because, again, you would think, oh, well, everybody on the team is horrific. They've been bad. They've lost 6 straight, and they've been a bad team this month.
Not as bad as him.
He's been the worst by a large quantifiable amount. Anyway, I don't want to make it a negative vote, Scottie Barnes, on Siakam Day. Wait, Jobo has a stat on this. What's your stat?
Since November 30th, which is that game that you mentioned, the 12 games ago, he is 5th worst in the league overall in total plus minus, and guess who's first? Evan Mobley.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. Tough look.
Ouchie.
Yeah. First place.
I wish
96.
You didn't say that. That was, you know what, though? I had regrettable Scottie Barnes takes in the past.
Right.
I thought Jalen Suggs over Barnes. Mm-hmm. Many of us did. Actually, Ennis wasn't. Ennis was always on Barnes Island. It was very, he trumpeted that for a very long time. He was into it. I was wrong. But now, hey, the door is creaking open to still be right. You know, my horse is at the it's a lame duck horse. Jalen Suggs always hurt. And,
lame duck horse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a lame duck horse. It's a lame duck horse. It's a glue factory horse, basically. But every once in a while, it shows a flash, and then you go, oh, is this a? And then it gets hurt. No, but so I'm reluctant to make other Scotty Barnes takes, but I truly do believe that there's potential for us looking back 10 years from now and saying, sorry, Scotty Barnes beat Evan Mobley for Rookie of the Year. That's one of the...
Well, yeah, what? And he only beat Evan Mobley for Rookie of the Year because Mobley got hurt late in the season last year and then kind of, like, passed him. Like, Evan Mobley, at his best, looked like the Rookie of the Year last year. And that's not to take away from what was a spectacular rookie year for Scotty Barnes. But, yeah, it's not, like, people look at what was he, 1-10 from the field yesterday and think that's the – I mean, that plays into the
anyway,
plus-minus
stuff. It just has a lot
about
of Tyreek Evans winning Rookie of the Year in the Steph Curry year to me. That's just –
Yeah, there are guys. Yeah. There definitely are guys that won.
Yeah, I said, it's the Tyreek Evans where people went, oh, my God, this guy's the man. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. And then 10 years later, Steph Curry – why didn't Steph Curry win Rookie of the Year? Oh, my God, Tyreek Evans won? Oh, that's – anyway, it has a little bit of that. All I'm saying is it has a little touch of that. Anyway, Siakam, the positive of it. What you said there is right about the timelines thing. This is what's so strange about where the Raptors are at. Everyone constantly does the assumption that they need to build around Scotty Barnes or they need to reset so that they can build around Scotty Barnes. That's not the way that I've been talking about it. I've thought that they should be trading guys to maximize asset potential to go into next year and say, hey, we're going to actually try to build around Siakam. But that is what's wild to me is, to me, Scotty was the priority in the organization, looking at him after a Rookie of the Year campaign, thinking, hey, this guy does represent winning for a very long time. But Siakam is becoming the priority because you can make a case that he's on the bubble of being a top 10 guy in the NBA. And when you have one of those guys...
You don't give him up.
Well, no, he's not on the trading block. He's never been on the trading block. Basically, to me, the conversation around
Kevin
the Raptors
O'Connor
is...
put him on there, but yes, go ahead.
Well, that's too much. That's too much. Basically, to me, the scenarios are... Gary Trent is already traded. There's just no way he's not. He's gone. So there's not even a point of having much of a conversation around it because he's a goner. I think I saw that the betting odds are minus 200. He's still a Raptor, and I went, don't bet that. That's a bad bet. The conversation is, do you trade Fred or OG? One of the two of the guys. You don't trade both because trading both is, like you said, it's too much chopping down. And I don't think that you can change the roster too much from this year to next season, even with all the picks or prospects or things that you get for those guys. I think that ideally what it is you can flip Fred VanVleet into first round picks that you can turn into trades, or... if the OG Anunoby trade is what Zach Lowe says, then you have to consider that. Because the pieces don't seem to fit for this Raptors team on a nightly basis. And they're just going to have to make a direction of how to maximize some of those assets. They got and then fine, you bring back Fred VanVleet. You've got all the picks and all the pieces that you got in the OG trade. And then you're trying to use them to shore up different stuff around the roster. The problem I have with that is it's so impossibly hard for me to think about the Raptors finding a piece or two that fit better for this roster than OG. And I don't love the idea of giving Fred VanVleet a long-term $100 million contract that extends into... I just think it becomes harder to move.
Yeah. Well, but then what do you do at maybe the most important position in the NBA, right? The guy that's supposed to initiate the offense, I guess, passing
up for Scotty Barnes. No, that's not the most important position in the NBA.
Well, I mean, for a team that is pretty ISO-heavy, to get somebody that would be able to bring the ball up the court, that would make this offense a little less stagnant, be able to shoot, like Fred VanVleet used to be able to do. Anyways,
But Fred is best. But this is, I think, a misnomer. Fred is good on the ball, right? He's responsible, but Fred is not Chris Paul. People make him out to be this dime machine. He's not even Kyle Lowry. He's best off the ball. He's best as a undersized shooting guard. That's his role. You want him doing that. When he's trying to set up the offense, he's doing. Usually, he can do a lot too much around the basket, where he's not really efficient and. Yeah, he's not exactly Mr. Court Vision, Mr. Gets the offense and the chemistry going. Like, that's actually not how I see the value of Fred VanVleet. The value I think of Fred is that he can do both. But think about it. Historically, why did Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry, the two-point guard lineup, work? Because Kyle was the point guard and Fred is the shooting guard. Why do you think they went after all these point forwards to run the offense? It's because they like Fred off the ball. They like him as a shooting guard. I'm not saying he cannot do it, but go look through Fred VanVleet's box scores, his assist numbers. There's, like, you're not you're not the point guard when you have three assists like on a lot of nights. It's just, it's a bit of a, it reminds me a little bit of the whole, hey, Tim Duncan's not a center thing. Like, no, he wasn't a power forward. He was a center. And same thing with Fred VanVleet, where I look at him and go, he's a combo guard. He's a modern version guard, but he is not a point guard the way that some people try to put him as. And they go like, he's the head of the snake. No, that's not the best role for him. He shouldn't be that guy. He should be an off-the-ball guy, combo guard, well, someone else who can handle the duties and share the duties.
He should be a guy that can hit a wide-open three, which he hadn't been able to
and
do.
And he was last night.
Streak until, like, he hit, yes, one big three at the end of the game yesterday.
Hey, they synced up finally. They finally synced up.
Yeah, well, and that to me is, you know, so we're talking about timelines and that Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes are separated by, what, 3-4 years in age and maybe different time. Pascal Siakam doesn't look like he's getting any worse at his advanced age and approaching 30, but Fred VanVleet might be, right? And the miles on the tires and the number of minutes that he's played and the injuries that he's sustained the last couple of years makes him kind of a curious candidate to sign to a big money contract this offseason.
Bro, you got to think like Belichick before he lost his mind and decided Matt Patricia could run his offense with Joe Judge, right? Remember when we respected Bill Belichick, everyone? Do you remember those times when Belichick wasn't just hiring his son and cronies and his team would win? You remember those times, right, Ben?
Yeah, barely.
But yeah, I know. But those times, boy. And when we thought it was cute when his dog would be sitting at the table during the NFL draft and you went, he doesn't even need to care about the draft. So what if he's the general manager and coach and he's drafting centers that were projected to go the third round and the first round? I think that guy actually turned out to be okay. But before that, that was the Belichick move. And I always think about that with sports is who's the guy that you need to try to move off of on the right time? And what do you think is more likely going to hurt you or help you? Blah, 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 blah. You moving Fred VanVleet into another good contract and a high draft, or I shouldn't even say a high draft pick, but a good draft pick. Like the idea of trying to get one of those Lakers picks and moving Fred there is really good to me. Or getting a Magic pick is really good to me. Signing Fred VanVleet and having him be on a 4 or 5 year contract, through his early 30s, which one of those two options do you think that prime Belichick would do, right? And that's the one for me. I go into the Belichick brain. So to me, it's that. Anyway, am I going to be heartbroken if they re-sign Fred VanVleet? No, I'll be fine with it. He's a good player and good culture player, there's just so many reasons to believe that this is some slump for him, whatever. It's overly reactionary. He can still obviously do it. He's had some 40-point nights recently. He's fine. It's just, to me, that is the most prudent move. That is the most obvious move. That is the least downside move, right? You trade OG Anunoby, even if you end up getting three draft picks. You got Pascal Siakam moving into next year saying, hey, okay, we got to use those three draft picks to try to go get an OG Anunoby type. We've always wanted one of those. Yeah. It's kind of that, so.
Defensive player of the year candidate who hits threes and is taking another
low maintenance
step offensively.
No. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough to move him and see what the future looks like around Siakam, or harder to see that than it is, okay, the Barnes thing. The one thing I can't stop thinking about recently is what if the Raptors would have just said, you know what, we're selling high on Scottie Barnes and give us Kevin Durant and we'll give you Gary Trent's contract and we'll throw in another, you know, we'll just, because that was always the problem with Scottie Barnes is you actually had to throw in multiple guys and so you couldn't have done it. You couldn't have actually done it, but yeah, if we're talking about, hey, history with Scottie Barnes versus Mobley might look bad. Scottie Barnes, as a guy that people would have said, Kevin Durant, who might win MVP this year, imagine him and Siakam side by side, the two of those guys. It was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good.
And not a one-year proposition, like multi-year, because, you know, he asked out before that extension even kicked in.
Yeah.
I mean, if that was and
people were like, but Kevin Durant gets pouty sometimes. That's, hey, he doesn't like it all the time. He tweets at people. And you're like, all right. Okay.
Yeah. No, if that was truly on the table, like I don't think the Nets would have moved him for anything, it seems. And
No. I think that there could have been a Godfather deal from the Raptors, but the problem is that it actually, this was always the issue with the Scottie Barnes trade. I said that if they could have done a Scottie Barnes for Kevin Durant trade straight up, then you have to do that. The problem is you had the salary match, and that would have required the Raptors to completely gut the roster, and you would have ended up with a team of Kevin Durant and a bunch of nobody. Kevin Durant and Fred VanVleet, and that wouldn't have been any different than what you see right now. So anyway, let's move on. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's reset, and let's do all the stuff that I was planning on doing with you. But the Siakam thing, he's just so damn good that It makes you question where the timelines are at. And the positive is that he's incredible. He is just an incredible player. The negative is that it makes it even more confusing what you do, because you've got one guy who's so brilliant and then another guy who's struggling so mightily that represented your future. It just, yeah, boy, I don't envy the position that this front office is in right now. It's nice that they have pieces that they can kind of pivot either way, but whew, decisions. Anyways, quick break. Let's come back and let's do the rest of Good Hour with Ben Ennis.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
You know what the gift Ben Ennis is giving the city of Toronto?
What's that?
Is for all the deadbeat husbands out there and boyfriends that don't do anything for their wives or girlfriends, partners, whatever. He stands as the sterling example of people going, sweetie, lover, friend, at least you're not married to this guy, this cheapo, who's literally like giving his wife, you know what he's doing for his wife this Christmas? He's literally doing, do you like the roof over your head? That's right. Him. Yeah.
That's, you can take that away at any second.
Exactly.
Be on the street.
Yeah. We got a roof, but no chimney for Santa to come down, okay? There's no chimney for him. We clogged it up.
Like your life? Yeah, every day is Christmas for my wife. She gets to,
exactly.
to live in this house. This exactly. incredible lifestyle.
Dude,
yeah.
By the way, you know what I learned today? I learned something today. You know I like to share things with the audience and with you. I'm not a lip gloss guy. I don't. Or what do you call it? Lip chap.
Lip gloss guy.
Yeah, see, I'm so not a lip chap guy that I don't even know what it's called. Chapstick, even Joe looked at me. He was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Lip gloss. I'm not a glitter guy.
No, I'm not. I'm really not a glitter guy. Anyway, that's what so gloss just makes it shiny. Stick, lipstick, color.
Chapstick. Are you talking about chapstick or lipstick now? You've now talked about three separate things.
Yeah,
what are
I'm
you
saying.
Talking
I'm
about?
Saying, I'm saying, okay, yeah, I'm just working out what the three things are. Lipstick, color, lip gloss, shiny.
Uh-huh.
Who wants shiny? What's the point of that, dude, ladies?
Have you, some of these ladies, my wife included, I don't know if she uses it anymore, have this thing called plumping lip gloss, which actually numbs your lip and makes it like fatter. Like, I don't know. There's some sort of chemical ingredient.
I get the allure of that, though, because people want big lips.
Okay, sure. Plumping. It seems like probably like there's some long-term negative health effects.
I just picture the ad. Like, hey, ladies, you want big, greasy lips? get these plumping, greasy lip balm or whatever. Anyway, that's Joe is distraught by this. He is not happy about this conversation. Okay, so I'm not a big lip chap guy. I don't
chapstick.
Get,
what are you talking?
You don't call it lip
chapstick?
Chap? Lip chap is not right?
No.
It's not acceptable?
You can have chapped lips. What are you talking about?
I thought it was called lip chap.
Are you from this planet?
No. This is just a further example to illustrate how little I use this. Anyway, I use the chapstick, and I finally get this out, right? I got a Burt's Bees. I shouldn't give them the free ad, but it is what it is. It already happened, so let's keep it moving. So I get this thing, and I don't know how to even put it on. So I was just like smashing it against my face and lips, and I don't. And then I got on the train. I got on the train this morning, and I felt like I was wearing the Scarlet Letter, right? Of just people must be looking at me and wondering what's all over his face. Because I don't know how much I put on, but it felt. I kind of rushed it, and then I got on the train, and I just sat there in horror of, oh my God, I got this. I don't know how you're supposed to put that on.
So was it the stick, or
yeah,
is it the one
stick.
Where you have to stick your finger in?
No,
and then push
that's
it around
disgusting.
And
I would never, I would never do that. That is disgusting.
You just do it like lipstick.
I don't know how lipstick goes on. I'm not wearing lipstick ever either. So anyway,
you've seen people in
but that's
in
what I tried. That's no, but that's what
lipstick,
I was
right?
trying to do that. I was trying to think about that. I even did the girl thing like that. Like, you know,
well,
like,
that's unnecessary.
I thought I was like, do I have to do that? Anyway, it was just, it was all over my face. It was disgusting. I was a mess. I was just smearing it over. I was like, how many times are you supposed to run around doing this thing? And then I realized it was too much. Anyway, I don't know why I shared that, but it was disgusting. And I don't know how to properly do a lot of things.
How do your lips feel now?
The same. The same, like minor discomfort, 3 out of 10 discomfort. 2 out of 10 discomfort. Anyway, so I texted you yesterday. The topic of the day was about the Mets.
Sure.
They're spending so much money. They're going to spend $800 million on this free agent class. Not in one year, but over the tenure of these deals, it's going to be around $800 million. Mm-hmm. And there's even some indications that they're not quite done yet. You look at their roster right now, it's glorious on paper, right? Especially if you think as highly of Brandon Nimmo as everybody else in free agency seemed to, the $200 million man. Wow, they got Brandon Nimmo in center field and the rest of this incredible roster. They steal Carlos Correa. And so the thing I couldn't stop thinking about was, what is that the most fun thing you can have outside of winning, right? And when I say winning, I just mean games. Important games, right? Because no one would say that winning a regular season game is all that important. But if you discount winning playoff series, which are so fun, and especially winning championships, what are the most entertaining and fun things that a fan can experience? And so I asked you to think about that, because to me, one of those things would absolutely be an owner like this in baseball who is just splashing around cash recklessly. It's not your money. It's not affecting anything you do. Some bozo on Twitter was talking about, hey, it's going to be $37 hot dogs at Mets games next year. And I went, what are you talking about? The stupidest thing. Yeah, anyway, I didn't see that one. No, that's just the most negative viewpoint you can possibly. That's actually where even a pessimistic person like myself looks at someone and goes, "That's why are you the way that you are?" But what did you think of? Because I wrote down a few different things, but I don't know. I think that there's this pretty strong case for the baseball ownership thing if you care about baseball.
Yeah, I think winning a draft lottery where there's a franchise eligible player is probably up there.
Yeah,
considering that Toronto sports fans have experienced that in the last less than a decade in the Auston Matthews draft lottery, in which they were deserving of winning it because they had the most odds, finishing dead last in the NHL. That was pretty good. Like in season, there's nothing more exciting than the surprise winning team that also
Toronto sports fans have
experienced a couple of times. They experienced it in year one of Auston Matthews, where they lose in overtime in game one. But
let's just do one at a time. Let's just do one at a time. I don't want to hear your entire list all at once, because I want to go over these things. Because again, I have a couple of them. I want to do one at a time. I actually had winning the draft lottery as number one, because to me, the thing that you sell people on is hope, right? With sports. Mm-hmm. Only one team ever wins. And so when I was really trying to break down this list, it came down to what gives you the most hope. And I think that winning a draft lottery is the most hope you can have. And specifically winning a draft lottery, because in the NFL, it doesn't feel this way, right? It's just, it's a absolute death march. It feels horrific. You think that Texans fans are having a good time potentially getting Bryce Young to have this season where it's just embarrassing every single week? You got to watch 17 games of Davis Mills, and they've been doing this thing recently where, and I'm not watching a ton of Texans games, I don't know if any of the guys on the show know, but they have another quarterback that they'll just bring in and they'll go, you try for a little while. Let's go back and forth. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's happening here. Colts fans, you think they're having a good time? Or Broncos fans? That's a different one. That's a whole, they don't have their pick, but these fan bases, that's not fun marching your way to the very top pick. It's just not. Even if it's a year where there's Andrew Luck, you're not ever having fun losing or doing these things. The draft lottery, you sit there on a night and it's an event and you know you have good odds. And when you get down to those final three envelopes, right? You get down to those final three, like Raptors fans did last year, or like Leaf fans experienced getting Auston Matthews, or the crushing defeat of not getting Connor McDavid, right? When we thought the NHL should rig it for you. That's euphoria. I can tell you that it's happened for me in my life where when I was a Sonics fan, they got the second overall pick for Kevin Durant, and I thought it was going to save the Seattle Supersonics franchise. That's how important those things are, because that's how much hope it represents getting one of those picks. Getting Auston Matthews, Matthews didn't quite feel as good simply because you had just missed out on McDavid, and as good of a prospect as he was and as incredible of a feat it was for them to win it, There still was a little bit of it was a year delayed on the guy. No?
So I think for teams that have a chance at the top pick but weren't absolutely dead last, it's a lot more of what you're talking about, excitement and really you go into a draft lottery super optimistic. I think for Leaf fans coming off that season where they really had to, you know, poor Garrett Sparks was the cannon fodder at the end of the season, getting thrown into
whole
games.
Whole team was awful. I went to the last home game of the year, and it was just, I think the Leafs went up 1-0, and it was this nightmare. You were sitting there going, please don't improve your odds.
Yeah, and they didn't, because they had horrible goaltending performance by the end. And just barely scraped into the dead last position by the skin of their teeth by the end of the season. And then, at that point, you only have things to lose going into a draft lottery, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've already kind of put your mind into the idea of winning the first overall pick.
The elation of winning the draft lottery, to me, is the best feeling that you can have, which is why so much of... I'm not afraid of tanking, and I also believe that some people, right, hope? Hope is what you want. Hope is what you want as a sports fan. How do you accumulate the hope? It's by winning that, and that's why, to me, tanking isn't always the worst. Tanking is bad when you had a really good team that completely falls apart, and it's the end of an era, and it happens sooner than you expected, but for the most part, or when it happens for too long, right? When you're just a team that year over year.
Like, while you're in the tanking, it stinks, right? You're talking about the horrible teams in the NFL. Like, yes, their season stinks.
That's
awful. Season before the Matthews draft was horrible. Nobody watched it.
Yeah. You're right. All tanks are different. If you're a tanking team and it's supposed to be a one-off, because, like, the Raptors, we thought it was going to be the Tampa season, I never hated that tank. You couldn't really watch the Raptors game because there wasn't a whole lot to be invested in, let's just say, right? There wasn't a young player or a couple of young players wanted to watch.
You can love the theory behind tanking, and really there's no other take than, that Raptors team should have tanked. The Leafs absolutely should have tanked. But you can also hate the process, right? That you can hate... That is really the only avenue to rebuild your team in North American pro sports is tanking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, so I think that twofold. The winning the draft lottery is I had it as actually number one. It's the best feeling that you can have because it feels like you've just injected something into your franchise that is going to last for hopefully a decade. And it changes the prospects of who you are and what you're going to be. And it's the most exhilarating feeling. You're winning something without actually having won anything. But I want to push back on the surprising team because that was on my list too. I took it off because I'm experiencing this to a certain degree as a Seahawk fan. That's not that great of a feeling because one, you always have this underlying feeling of we're frauds. You have a complete fraud feeling that's going on the entire time. And part of you just wishes that you would tank because you can't win. And this is sort of what I'm going through a little bit with the Raptors right now, where I don't want them to necessarily turn it around. Because I don't think what they have as a group is good enough to be able to win a championship. And I don't see the path where they're going to be able to surround Siakam with enough talent over the next year or two without actually adding some other pieces from the outside that are not just whatever their own pick turns out to be or some veteran minimum contracts or whatever they get back in a Gary Trent Jr. trade. You want to see your team actually have a shot. It's fine when it's a young team that takes that step, which I think is different, and I have that on my list. Young team that takes a step is exhilarating. When it's the Leafs in their first season with all the young guys together and they made the playoffs against Washington, that's all gravy. That's the innocent climb. And I have that with the Blue Jays too, right? The year they just missed the playoffs.
Yeah, 2020. And the Raptors kind of had it too after the Rudy Gay trade and the Kyle Lowry trade to the Knicks was nicked.
Yeah, that one was a little different. That one was fun, and they were gritty, and they were a tough team, but nobody thought they were going to win a championship that year. And that's what I'm saying is there's a little bit of, and I still felt this way at the time. It turned out incorrect, but at the time when the Raptors started winning those games, I didn't feel great about it because you wanted Wiggins first overall in the draft, and you had built your mind around potentially going down and getting him. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. The fraudulent, nobody believed in us team, they never win. Not in, like, who's the team that actually won that nobody believed in, nobody... It's like, what, you're going to say the LA Kings?
Well, it happens in baseball. I would say that it happens
No, but it
in baseball.
Doesn't happen. I mean, well, okay.
The Braves a couple of years ago were, like, a couple of games over 500.
But you still have to make the playoffs in baseball. You're right. I guess you're right to that degree. I guess I'm thinking about it more in terms of a football team or a basketball team where you get eight
teams
in the playoffs.
Well, those are the two sports where, like, we can have fun talking about the South divisions in the AFC and the NFC and their abilities to make the playoffs. They're not winning a Super Bowl. We know this. And in the NBA, it's the most individually star-dependent league, and the postseason is most indicative of who the best teams are. But baseball's not like that. Baseball, it's a crapshoot. The true winner is the winner of the regular season that has the best team through 162 games, and then you get into short playoff series, and anything can happen.
Yep, crapshoot season.
No, Blue Jays could have won the World Series in 2020.
Yep.
Right? Like the choking Dodgers won it somehow in 2020.
Yeah. No, you're right. That is true. I just think that, yeah, once you are into the playoffs in baseball, I always look at it as anybody can win, and so that part of it's over. But you're right. There are teams that surprise you in getting there. I just didn't think that the Braves were a surprise team getting there. They were more surprising because they lost Acuna, and they still found a way to win despite losing their best guy. The most, would say, in my lifetime or recent life, the Royals were actually the team that when they first got it done, the first iteration of the Royals team, the Ned Yost, there's no way that these guys can do this. Analytics are fake.
Making it to the World Series.
Those guys getting there, you went, oh, wow, this is quite a thing. This is pretty unbelievable that they made it there. But for the most part, yeah, I can't think of, do you think the Braves are the most shocking World Series winners? I'm really trying to think about, I should pull up a list.
Well, there was a Cardinals team in the mid-2000s, mm-hmm. after the Red Sox won their first in 2004, that was like, I think they were an 86-win team as well. But they had Albert Pujols, right? Like, they, it's not like they were a bad team, but like record-wise, they were one of the most surprising teams to ever win a World Series. The Phillies even getting to a World Series, considering their regular season this past year.
Yeah, They still did have a big payroll, and they had a lot of really good players, and it was a weaker division. Like, I'm looking through this, and
weaker division. They had two teams that won 100 games in the NL East last year.
Yes, I don't see anybody that was a shocking World Series winner to me. Like, there's nobody that was there that I went, oh my god, this is the story of the decade. Like, this is a bad comparison because it's the most polar opposite end of the extreme, but there's no. What was the soccer team that won, Joe?
Leicester City.
I couldn't get Ipswich out of my mind. I don't know why.
Definitely not Ipswich.
It wasn't Ipswich. But yeah, I guess a baseball team, that could be a decent one, though, because you can make a run and you can believe, like this year with the Phillies, that you weren't going to win a World Series and there was no way, and that you kind of feel like the fraud and you can get hot in the postseason. So that is a good one. But that is still winning to me, right? Like, the thing that we're discussing here is what's the most exhilarating thing that you can have as a fan. And once you get into the postseason winning, like, that's the disqualifier. It is a regular season thing. So I guess baseball is one. You're right. Baseball, sneaky team, that one works. Because once you're into the dance, you're right. Anybody can do it.
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of, I guess, a parallel with winning a draft lottery is when you have the prize prospect that arrives in the middle of the season, right? Like, mm-hmm. that was... Vlad's regular season debut for the Toronto Blue Jays was among the most exciting things that I can remember, mm-hmm. in Toronto sports history, and to a lesser extent, Bo Bichette. And then before that, you know, you got Brett Laurie, like Travis Snyder. When those guys that you had heard of and were paying attention to their minor league box scores, or William Nylander when he did arrive, I guess was, what, at the end of that tanking season, mm-hmm. With Zach Hyman. Like, yeah, injected a little bit of intrigue into that season. But, that's in an otherwise moribund year, because, mm-hmm. you know, you're a crappy team on the come up because you were able to collect those guys, although not the case in Vlad's scenario because not drafted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those, like, that was among one of the more memorable regular season games that, over the last 10 years in Toronto sports.
Yeah, so I think I ranked it as this. This was my ranking. One was getting first overall pick. That's the number one thing that you can do that's outside of a championship that I think is great as a sports fan. Two is I did put crazy owner that spends a bunch of money. Because the exhilaration of knowing that you're entering the season like that for baseball as a Mets fan, I just can't imagine what would be more enjoyable than waking up knowing that you didn't think you got Carlos Correa and then all of a sudden you did. That's just such a, like, I'm going to do holiday wish list later on in the podcast today for Toronto sports teams. And think about how exciting it was, the news cycle of getting Chris Bassett for, what, 48 hours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Bassett came to town and you went, boy, and they would 48 hours. And Dallas Braden came on my podcast and talked about how he's a winner. He's a dog. He's a guy that he demands respect. or he commands respect. I keep mixing those two things up. He commands respect because everybody just looks to him in those moments. I went, this is so fun. This is so exciting as a sports fan. Having that buzz is incredible, right?
Chris Bassett was fun.
Yeah.
To get Chris Bassett, and certainly somebody that the Blue Jays can use in his mid-30s who doesn't strike people out. But like a couple of years ago, the Blue Jays went to the very tippy top of the free agent pool and outspent Steve Cohen for George Springer, which was way more exciting.
Yes. My point is just simply that they've had these off seasons where they get one of the guys, which is great. And it's been nice. Everybody who views is complaining. What do you want them not? No, they go out one offseason, they go get a Ryu, and then they go get a Springer, and then they go get a Gausman, and that's awesome. And then everything around it, and don't say Semien because that was a 1-year contract, right? And Chapman was a trade. So every year, the Blue Jays front office has basically been like, we're going to go out and spend $20+ million on one player, 20 or more on one guy, and then the rest is going to be pretty underwhelming. It must be so awesome having an offseason where you just have so many guys you can't even keep track of it that you end up getting the pitcher from Japan and you go, who cares? He's like the 15th guy that we signed this offseason. Who even cares that he's here? No one even remembers. He just shows up at spring training and you go, oh my God, that guy too. They spent so much money. So that's very high on the list for me. A prospect that hits... is, I think, as good as you can feel, especially in sports where it's not as obvious that someone is going to hit. So maybe we're doing too many things as baseball is like, this is why baseball is the best. But yeah, prospects in baseball, they're not as obvious usually as the ones in the other North American sports where they're at the very top, right? But even still, when you do hit on a prospect in an NFL draft, like I can tell you, Richard Sherman being a 7th-round pick, you know, Cam Chancellor, those guys being late-round picks. Oh, sorry, I think Sherman was maybe 5th, and then Cam was later. I can't even remember. Either way, those guys being late-round picks that hit, that is as good of a feeling as you can have as a sports fan. Because you go through that little moment of, is this for real? Like, but it's all house money. It's all house money. Even if you only get a couple of games from those guys being great, that is amazing. But then if they turn out to be great players, like even with Siakam, he was 27th overall pick in a draft. It feels so much better. Fred VanVleet being undrafted. Think about how many times you go to that well as a sports fan of everyone's stupid but us. And that's what you like to have, other little minor wins around it. So to me, hitting on a prospect is extremely high. And then I have, and I don't know if this one should count, but winning a trade, because you don't know in the moment. But if you judge it as a big win in the moment, it feels good too. And you know what one I thought of? It's two trades that didn't turn out to be so great. But obviously I thought about the Marlins trade, right? Mm-hmm. And how great that felt.
Sure. They were World Series preseason favorites in 2013.
That's one of the greatest moments of my life as a sports fan.
Dude, never forget that, there were unknown, unnamed executives in Major League Baseball that wanted the commissioner to quash that trade because it was so unfair and the Blue Jays were taking advantage of a team that was just trying to shed payroll.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Winning a trade where everyone goes, what the hell was this? That's exhilarating. The Lakers ended up hanging banners off of theirs, but remember how everyone felt when they got Pau Gasol?
Right.
They went, sorry, you gave up what? Nothing for Pau Gasol? Right. That seems unfair. And the whole league went, nobody even knew that you were shopping him. Winning a trade without a shadow of a doubt, to me, is as good of a feeling as you can get. You know, the funny one is the other trade that I thought of for Toronto Sports that I was always like, holy crap, this trade, this is the one that got executed? Can you guess? Well, think off your mind Toronto trades the last 15 years that you think have been like,
what,
wow.
Josh Donaldson?
No, because Donaldson was a good one, and I really thought Donaldson, but I never had any idea that he was going to be MVP, right? Like, I didn't think that that's who he was. I thought, hey, this is a disgruntled guy, and you're stealing an Oakland Athletics player. Yeah, that was a good trade, but I wasn't over
Dennis
the moon
Malgin.
About that one. Yeah, Dennis Malgin. I thought, wow, what a coup at the deadline. No, Dion Phaneuf.
Oh, sure, yeah.
When the Leafs got Dion Phaneuf, and you saw the outgoing pieces... I remember thinking what an incredible buy-low spot this was for the Leafs. You thought that he wasn't getting along with some of the players in Calgary, and Toronto didn't sacrifice anything meaningful in order to acquire him. It was awesome. It was an awesome trade. It was an awesome moment. And the feeling of, oh my God, the Leafs are getting Dion Phaneuf. Dion freaking Phaneuf for a pile of whatever, that's as good as it feels. So yeah, winning a trade, that was my list.
You know, it's interesting in so many of those things, except for the one obvious one that was the impetus for this discussion. It takes skill, right? Like there's luck involved in like hitting on a prospect, especially one that is not first overall or even a top five or like a later round pick. That there's skill involved in all of those, except for the Steve Cohen thing, right? Like, and I've been trying to wrap my brain around, you know, what that means and whether that you know takes away some of the pleasure. It shouldn't for the fans, but it is. Like, it should be stated that it is much easier. Like, my 7-year-old could have done what the Mets did this offseason and just, you know, look at the best players and give them all the money, right? Like, that is not difficult.
But that's why it's like an argument to be number one, is that it's nothing. It's just, it's pure gravy.
It is in the moment, but, you know, yes. And in this sport, I was actually crunching the numbers, 13 of the last 28 World Series winners have been top five in payroll. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees had a run at the beginning of the wild card era between 96 and 2000, where they won 4 of 5 World Series as like the top payroll in baseball. So it is closely correlated to winning, but there's a lot of like epic failures. Like, think about the Angels and how much of a laughingstock they are over the last 10 years.
But they've never had one like this. They're just the upper class of what the Blue Jays have been. And I, again, I know Springer was higher at the time.
Yeah, they went nuts on Pujols and Rendon, and then they gave
Trout all
the
money. That's what I'm saying, but it's always one guy every offseason. They never have an offseason where they go, we're getting 8 guys. Like, that's what's crazy about the Mets thing, is that they went out and got everybody. They went and said, hey, Justin Verlander, you want to come here in the same offseason as us getting Carlos Correa?
Well, that Marlins team that the Blue Jays picked apart in the 2013 offseason, they did that. Right? Like, they went
Reyes and getting Verlander. That's fun as hell. And that was, it wasn't worth it.
It was fun.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not winning championships. It's the things that you can do that are the most exhilarating outside of them. And to me, being a baseball big spender is got to be at the very top of the list. Also, I do think it's really funny that I asked you what trade you felt like, you know, Toronto Sports won in the last 20 years in the moment and what we freaked out about. And you're wearing the championship Raptors shirt and you didn't think Kawhi.
Sure, yeah.
No, but because that's retroactive. I know you think almost like, oh, it didn't pan out that way. But at the time, also, that trade was insane. When Bleacher Report, remember they did the game of zones and it was Jakob and then they went, and a first round pick. And they throw that little lottery ball into the Raptors' mouth. It was comical that they ended up doing it that way, that it was that big of a heist at the time. And that is one of the beauties of Masai Ujiri as the Raptors president, is he's had so many different heists that people have thought, even at the time, in the moment of it happening, you going, oh my God, what a heist. The Andrea Bargnani heist, that was a heist. A heist.
Yeah.
It was great.
100%. I mean, the trade that led to the Raptors postseason berth and eventual 7-game series against the Nets and trading away Rudy Gay.
Dude.
And yes, we can talk about the trade that was on the table that was rescinded by the Knicks and Kyle Lowry. But preceding that, to get off of Rudy Gay and then create the core of a team that would be super fun to watch and really start this run of success.
The reason why, though, I put the Mets thing down in terms of them spending on just a ridiculous amount of free agents. And I will say that the Blue Jays a couple of years ago, even when they went up to, because what they gave Semien, it was almost $20 million, right, for the 1 year?
Yeah,
wasn't it like $19 million, $18 million?
Offer was, it was like 18.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was close. So they did give him a big bag of money that year too, which is great, and that does make it feel better. But the reason why I think that one is special, when the owner goes crazy and just spends on multiple pieces, is because your mind goes out of the zone of, well, overpaying for a free agent never usually works, right? You're usually paying for the end of the performance or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm saying that you do fixate, I think, as a sports fan, somewhat on the negative, where you say, oh my God, the end of this deal isn't going to really work out. Oh, this is a bit of an overpay for this one player, but you have to do it. It's a byproduct of whatever. To me, the multiple spend by an owner, that is what makes it just, oh, this can't go wrong. This guy's going to always outspend his problems.
And especially if it's a team like the Mets in particular, and I know they play in a big market, and it's, you know, like it's been a little bit overdone how much of a downtrodden franchise they've been, because it was not, like, I remember Matt Harvey in a World Series, right?
Yeah,
like
that was
not that long ago. But that you would go from this team that was totally gutted because of a Ponzi scheme, also in very recent memory, to like just snap of the fingers, within 2 years, you're not just the highest spending team in Major League Baseball, but you're like the highest spending team in North American pro sports. And, and the difference between you and number two is bigger than anybody else in North American pro sports. And you're basically playing fantasy sports, right? Like you're on create a team mode in any video game, just picking the best players out of a pile.
So fun. By the way, before you go, we only have a couple minutes. How do you feel about the end of the Blue Jays rotation and quotes from Atkins like, we expect to bounce back from Kikuchi, or we're excited actually about bounce back from Kikuchi. We like Mitch White, and we've got some guys that are in the system that might come up and help.
Well, yeah, I think what else are you going to say about Yusei Kikuchi, who you're still committed to for two more years, although it's cheaper now, right? It's only $10 million in actual cash this year and next year.
I never really understand. It's like you already gave up the cash. That just means it was even worse last year. You know?
I don't think anybody discounts the fact that it was really bad last year. And he'll get an opportunity, I suppose. And like, I'm not out on Mitch White. I think there's still something to be had there. But yeah, I think the top four rotation spots are as solid as anybody in Major League Baseball. I think, you know, the bigger question mark is whether Jose Barrios can bounce back to be what he's been his entire career. But yeah, the idea that you're fifth starter, there's a big question mark. Like, yeah, that's kind of the deal in Major League Baseball.
See, I would normally say that's kind of the deal, but it is different for those reasons. One is Barrios just had a really bad year. Bassett is an older guy, and sure, he's been pretty durable lately. And
basically only became what he was like a couple of years ago, like into his 30s, right? Like he just discovered himself recently.
Yeah, that's it. And to me, one of the biggest things that has set the Blue Jays back is just lack of depth. And that if you end up with an injury, and I know you can say this about any team, right? Like, what are the teams that can sustain injuries to their best two pitchers and still be great? But yeah, the idea that if Barrios doesn't bounce back, which there's not exactly a whole ton of evidence to suggest that what are your options in behind these guys? So yeah, no, I really did think that they were going to add some layers to the depth this offseason. And I wasn't really... Like, it seemed at some points last year that Kikuchi was just done, that it was a sunk cost, and that they were going to move off this offseason, and that there was no chance he was going to be back. And that for a guy like Mitch White, who has zero track record of being a successful starter in Major League Baseball, to, roll the dice on that when, there's some pretty decent indication that he just might be a relief pitcher. I don't know. You're right. It's a fifth pitcher thing. It feels like when we hyperfixate on who's on the Leafs' fourth line, instead of just focusing on, wow, they've got pretty damn good guys at the very top. Seems pretty good. But I think that it does represent a bit of a greater issue in that when we do these projections, we often think about a full year of health from a starter. And that to me is, it looks like it can get hairy really quick if Barrios doesn't bounce back and they sustain an injury to one of their top three guys.
Yeah, no, injuries for sure. But I think they're not done in regards to like those quad A type starting pitchers. Like they need to add a couple of guys that are not, signing major league deals, right? Like they need to stay away from Thomas Hatch as being the guy. God, poor Thomas Hatch is like the kind of the go-to example of the guy that you don't want making spot starts in the major leagues.
And
like
they're going to have Hatch.
Yeah, well, he they screwed him up.
I know they did.
Just like they did with Joe Biagini, taking him out of the bullpen and trying to make him a starter.
Yeah.
They need certainly some minor league depth in starting pitching, but it's not like I don't think you're going to sign us another starting pitcher to be in the fifth slot in the rotation and then force what? Like Mitch White into a bulk bullpen role. You're actually like kind of running out of spots on the roster for pitchers another one.
Again, maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe I'm overthinking it and I just don't like seeing the quote and feeling as though it's been, to me, it's been a very underwhelming offseason. I'll say it. Like it's been really, really underwhelming. And maybe now I'm just trying to look at things that are realistic, like, maybe they could have added another starting pitcher to make it feel a bit better about the way I feel about this group as a contender. And that Kikuchi represents being cheap or something like that, when you're right, in actuality, Kikuchi, Mitch White are probably better options than anything else that's really out there. But, it doesn't sit very well. I will say I thought it would be a little bit different.
You're treading water a little bit because you swapped out Stripling for Bassett, who's better, and you chose to offload Teoscar Hernandez for a guy who plays exceptional defense but doesn't hit near the same level.
How could you say with any guarantee, if you were a Blue Jays fan or observer, that the team is better today than it was last year?
You can't, but they won 92 games last year.
So
if they're the same, and maybe you get some internal improvements, but yeah, you're probably going to get some guys that don't perform to the same level as they did a season ago.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair assessment, that this Blue Jays team on paper did not necessarily improve. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the pushback is they won 92 games.
Yeah. I guess. You want to talk about surprise teams and how it feels, it would be surprising. Had the Blue Jays made a World Series last year, it would have been pretty damn surprising to me. They won 92 games.
Well,
would have been pretty damn surprising.
It's easy to say that in retrospect after getting swept in a two-game series by the Seattle Mariners.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I remember how I felt at the time. And, again, what did Blue Jays fans say after they lost the Mariners? They said, well, they probably weren't going to beat the Astros anyway. Anyway, we got to run. We already ran well over the break. I wanted to get your – if you had a holiday story, but it's too late. Your holiday story was you cheaping out on your wife's gifts.
That's right, being cheap.
Anyway, subscribe to this podcast. Do all those things. And if you have a thought on what are the best fan experiences outside of winning, and I mean winning playoff series, winning championships, send them my way at JD Bunkus, both Twitter and Instagram, either one of them, you can hit me up. Ben Ennis, thanks for making time. Happy holidays, friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Happy holidays to you.
See you, brother. Quick break. We'll come back and we'll do a wish list. Yeah, you won't hear it on the podcast, but we played Ice Ice Baby coming in here. Because Joe, if you're a fan of this podcast, you'll remember Jobo lied about how everyone comes up to him asking him about what celebrities he looks like.
Okay, just on no.
He went to his Halloween party in a t-shirt and everyone went, oh my God, are you Prison Break guy? And he went, of course I am.
I had the Schofield thing on. Okay,
of course I'm Prison Break guy dressed in my t-shirt.
This is fake news.
Yeah, that's who I am. Anyway, Joe loves saying that. But today, yeah, you wore literally a Vanilla Ice costume. You got the chain, you got the sweater.
It was the get into the holiday spirit. You know,
that's how you get into it, is by thinking about Vanilla Ice and manifesting him.
Okay, that's not what I meant.
That's what you do? That's what you do? All right, cool. That's interesting.
Okay, sure. I'm Ice Spice.
Yeah.
Ice Spice. No, not Ice Spice.
Okay.
By the way,
apparently I'm being validated through the text line and through DMs and tweets about it being called Lip Chap.
Yeah. Apparently Chapstick is the name of the brand.
So everybody can screw, all right? Everybody that tried to mock me in that moment, that's what it is.
But it's hard to put on. It's the Kleenex effect, though. Like, the brand is Kleenex, but everybody calls everything Kleenex.
Yeah, but that's fine. But no one says, do you have a tissue? And then someone says, it's Kleenex. And you go, oh, whoops, sorry. And that's what you guys did to me. You shame me.
So I wasn't saying anything.
You kept looking at me. Oh, you have little Vanilla Ice over here. Just kept staring at me, going, what are you doing? That face. Doesn't feel good when people give you that face. Anyway, I want to do a quick thought on Siakam's night last night and just Siakam in general, because Ennis and he spun it into a different area. I wanted to ask him shortly about it and blah, 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 blah. So by now you've seen it's the second most points by a Raptor in NBA history. How many players have actually done this at MSG? There is something special about dropping 50 plus at the Garden. It's just, that's the coolest place to do it. That's the coolest place to do it by far. So I was thinking about Siakam last night and watching him because I think he was 17 of 25. It was efficient. And what is he doing, right? He's knocking down a bunch in the mid-range. And the mid-range game is opening up things for him to go to the basket. He's very different physically from Kawhi Leonard. But there was a lot of Kawhi Leonard flavor last night. And I just out of curiosity, you know, look at Siakam's points per game this season. It's a little over 26 points per game. Go look at Kawhi's best season from a points per game standpoint. It's less than half a point more than Siakam was. Clearly, Kawhi, this sounds almost disrespectful or overly ambitious, right? Like, this Raptors team is in this toilet right now. They just beat the Knicks, and it took their best player having 52 points. But that's it. That's how that felt to me. It was a Kawhi-level night where he just said, I don't care what's around me. I just need one guy to show up. And the one guy was Fred. And the rest of the team kind of was in the tank. They didn't really do too much. There's no other pieces there. But you have one individually brilliant player who can score in such a multitude of ways on incredible efficiency. Do you guys remember when we watched Kawhi Leonard in Toronto? it was always the feeling of how many shots did he take tonight? Because you look at the box score, he had 30 points tonight.
Yeah.
He had 32 points. He took no shots. It was efficiency. Efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. That was the Kawhi Leonard experience. And all I could think of last night was this, was that when Kawhi left the city, there was an overcorrection to people going, well, now Siakam has to step up because he had been a great number two and he was younger and OG was hurt during the championship run. Because when when Kawhi first showed up, there was a lot of, man, OG can learn from Kawhi. OG can become Kawhi 2.0. And hey, if you look at who he was compared to, draft stock, blah, 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 body type, physicality, even watching the way OG is around the basket sometimes, he's just Kawhi-ish in terms of his strength. That's what separated Kawhi from an athletic standpoint. He's just so incredibly strong.
Yep.
And those monster mitts. But when Kawhi left, everyone looked and said, what is Siakam going to be next year? That's a lot of pressure on him, blah, 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 blah. Go on if you remember it. And one of the earliest games Siakam had was the monster night against the Celtics where he was just raining threes down on them. And everyone went, oh my God. And if you really think back to it, if you really remember, some people through the first 15-game stretch of that season, maybe even less than that, said, could Siakam be the MVP this year? Is he going to be in the conversation for the MVP? And then that fell off, right? All of it went away. It ends up pandemic P, right?
That was more Paul George.
He's playoff P. Pandemic P became Siakam when he didn't get to work out properly. He lost all the momentum from his year, and then they went into the bubble and he was horrible.
Yeah, and there's reports saying that he hadn't played in a month.
Exactly. He couldn't even, there were conversations from people, and I was having them too, and it was right, of should they even have played him in the final few minutes against the Celtics? That's how bad he was. He couldn't dribble. He was dribbling off his own foot. No. Was going to the other team. He was a complete non-factor. Remember him trying to go at, I think it was Marcus Smart. He kept trying to go at. They'd put Smart on him, and he could just do absolutely nothing. Brutal. People went down. Stock went horrifically down. People said, relax, whatever. You go into the next year. What ends up happening? Doesn't work again.
The Tampa Bay year.
Tampa Bay year.
Yep.
Nothing. Siakam's stock got so bad in this city after that because expectations were incredibly high for him.
Yeah.
They were incredibly high, and people started saying things like, if the draft was happening again today, his draft class, he would go number one. I did an entire podcast on that once. That he would go number one, that he was the guy from his draft class, blah, 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 blah. It got so bad for him that he had to do the PR campaign going into last season of, look, I'm on the TTC. Remember he had the, now I'm finally the man? And that got picked apart too. Kyle's gone, now I get to be the man. I wasn't happy with sort of, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but the point remains. He paraphrased a little bit about how he never felt fully embraced by the organization as that guy. That there was an expectation that he was going to take the reins, but it never really ended up happening from a front office standpoint, from whatever.
Yeah.
So to me, that actually is looming over what happens next with Siakam. He wants to be embraced like the man. He is playing like the man. Mm-hmm. He's been as good as any Raptor. Basically ever. Yeah. That's how good he's playing right now. That's what I'm saying. Go look at Kawhi's numbers throughout his career. His best seasons have been like what Siakam is doing-ish right now. A better version of it. There's no doubt, okay, right? Kawhi was also Defensive Player of the Year candidate as he was doing these things.
Yep.
He's a better shooter from three. There was all kinds of different stuff. Better shooter off the dribble from three. Better at getting to the rim. Better getting the free throw. Like, I don't want to be over the top with this comparison. But my point is that he is closer to where Kawhi was in his prime than I think anybody thought Siakam could ever get to after that dip in production from the pandemic forward. He has totally recovered. He is absolutely in his prime. And with where the Raptors are at right now, which is a fork, they're at a fork in the road.
Yep.
And he's a player who has expressed how he feels about not being embraced as the man. That has been a thing in the past. How will he feel if they do trade a Fred VanVleet? Mm-hmm. How will he feel if they trade an OG Anunoby? How will he feel if this, if the way that the Raptors approach things is, well, the timeline is actually more about Scottie Barnes. If you make these deals, which I still think that the Raptors should, this is a one game, right? Like, this isn't an overcorrection where all of a sudden I'm changing all my takes because the Raptors beat the Knicks and their best player got 52 points. I don't think the Raptors are a very good team.
Yeah.
I don't think that the pieces fit together. And I think that they are actually still in a pretty good position because all of the pieces that they have, they can pivot and turn into however the hell they want, depending on this, the way that the season goes. Yeah. They don't need to make a drastic move right now. They don't need to do anything other than at some point they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to trade Gary Trent. I think basically guaranteed they have to trade Gary Trent because they'd have to pay him too much money. I'm not sure that he, frankly, has ever loved wanting to be in Toronto. And yeah, it's just, it's tough to give him a contract extension. When Gary first showed up with the Raptors, it's pretty well documented that the embrace was not right away. I think it happened later, but it wasn't right away.
Yeah.
You do not want to disgruntle this guy. That is the piece of this that is tougher to do around the ideas of trading Fred and OG.
And it makes it harder to trade for someone else who has potential to be a man, like one of the guys, because you don't want to take off Siakam.
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that at all. If the Raptors actually could find a way to go out and get a, like, this is what we talked about earlier. If they went out and got a Kevin Durant type player, that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. You're not doing that, though. What I'm saying is you can't do that with Scottie Barnes and tell Siakam right now that he's the priority.
Yeah.
That Barnes' development or Barnes' future or a team around Barnes is more of a priority than you, because then you do enter the danger territory of Siakam potentially wanting a trade. So yesterday, like when Siakam hit the podium, Austin, do you have the audio of Siakam talking about the 50-point game? Okay, just play this because I'm going to illustrate a point about like Siakam, a guy, and some of the things that we assume about him. Roll that clip.
Obviously, I'm not a super basketball historian. You know, like I didn't start basketball until, you know, a little late, and I'm learning about all these things, but I know how special this building is, you know, and I think that for me, which is like the more important thing, is that, you know, like my team needed every bucket for us to win, which is like the most important thing for me, like wanting to get a win and making sure that we get back on the right track. And, you know, those guys out there are special, and I just felt like, you know, everyone needed that moment and, you know, everyone being happy for each other. And we haven't had an opportunity to cheer for a little bit, you know, so I think it felt good.
Dude, okay, so Siakam is, I usually don't like saying this about guys I don't know, but he just seems like a really great human.
Yeah.
He seems like a good guy and a good teammate and someone who is selfless and has a great attitude. He's a lot of different things. And what do they always say, right? Like, don't confuse kindness for weakness, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a competitor. When he talks about arriving to basketball late in life, do you know how incredibly difficult it is that this guy had to, you know how hard this guy's had to work to be the player that he is today?
Yeah.
Like, this didn't just happen. This is not a natural basketball player where just, oh, he's been playing, like he said. When he came to the NBA, he was in the dunker spot, and that's all you wanted him to be doing offensively. And now I'm on the podcast talking about comparing him to Kawhi Leonard, one of the best basketball players of his era.
He's only been playing organized basketball for 10 years.
My point is, this guy obviously cares deeply about winning. And this guy cares deeply about being incredible, one of the best at his craft. He's talked about it all the time, about being a top player in the NBA. And then when Siakam sits down, and he's such an awesome guy, and he's Spicy P, and he's the dude that the city loves, and again, great guy. But don't confuse that for someone where if the Raptors make some of these trades, that he's just going to sit there and go, oh, that's cool, I'll stay with the Raptors forever. You want to just give me that max contract? I'll do that. Like, I'll be here forever. No. Yeah. Don't get too comfortable. That's all I'm saying. Don't get too comfortable. Every move that you should be making right now as an organization should be with him in mind because he is that good. It should not be primarily with Scottie Barnes in mind. It should be with Siakam. That's the point. If Scottie Barnes ever becomes this, if he ever becomes what Siakam is, that's an incredible feat for him. That's how good Siakam is. And I just think that there are certain times where we lose focus of that. And people should know Siakam is special. Siakam is the guy. This team should be building around Pascal Siakam, not Scottie Barnes. That's not to say ignore Scotty Barnes' development. That's not to say Scotty Barnes is what he's been this season or that this isn't a sophomore slump. Any of those things. It's simply to say that the moves that you make, if you decide to make trades with Gary Trent, OG Anunoby, and Fred VanVleet, should be with the understanding that you are taking those pieces and still trying to build around Siakam and the special moment that he's having over the next couple of years. You should absolutely still be trying to win around him. That's how good he is. Anyway, it's time for action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19 plus. Must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. I'm going to do two of these today. One's going to be quick. One will be a little longer. All right, so we're going to do our weekend preview because I'm off tomorrow. This is the last show, right?
Yeah.
It's the last show.
It's a crazy moment here.
Last show of, I can't believe it's going to be 2023. That doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel like a real number.
2023. No. I had that every single time, like before it's New Year's. I'm like, that doesn't seem
right. I know. This one especially, though, there's something about it. Anyway, 2023, that's a real thing. Boy, yeah. Woo. Don't care for that. Don't care for that as somebody who can remember the year 2000. I'm like Joe, who wasn't born yet.
I was born in 2000.
Who wasn't even born in 2000.
I was born in 2000.
You hear him say it right now, clear as day, that he wasn't born in the year 2000. He was born in the year 2000. Okay, whatever.
I was.
Even worse. What? Even worse somehow. Okay, this weekend. Slate kind of sucks.
Yeah. There's a couple things, but it's not like last week.
No, it's like kind of sucks. And I'm gonna give a prop on the other side of the break quickly for the Jets-Jaguars game. But I'm gonna fly through these games quickly. Bills-Bears, does anybody have that as their main pick? Because I'm going to fly through all these things. Just Bills-Bears, just shake your head if no.
No.
I think that the Bills are going to cream. Like, they're going to absolutely cream them.
Yep.
It's going to be a beatdown. I don't know why the line could be moved again. Yeah, but I don't know why the line keeps moving to Chicago other than it's just the weather, and that's the reason for this. But Buffalo is just a completely different tier of team, and Chicago's in basically full tank mode. And yeah, Fields is fun, and could he run on them? Yeah, but I think that the Bills are going to kick their ass.
Yeah.
And so that's just where I'm on. That's not my pick, though. One of my picks is the next game, Seahawks-Chiefs. It's kind of relevant because Seattle, if they win this, like, they need to win games. They need to win football games, but they're 10-point dogs, and as they should be. I'm not picking them to cover the spread. I like the total in this game, over 49. I don't know what the weather is in Kansas City, but this seems like 4.5 points too low to me. Seattle's offense can still click. They're still going to be able to move the football on Kansas City. Look at what Kansas City's done the last couple of weeks. They're not a juggernaut defensively.
No.
Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos scored a bunch of points on them. Seattle's going to score points on Kansas City's defense. And guess what? Kansas City's going to light up what is one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So over 49, that is one of my picks this weekend. Nobody else is on this game?
I like the total as well. I was looking at that this morning.
Okay. Yeah. The total over 49. It's actually, if I was doing fishy lines, if this was Tuesday, I would have gone back and I would have done the total 49 as fishy. Mm-hmm. This reeks to me of maybe there's some kind of weather thing. I don't know what the hell it is, but this game should be in the 50s. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this game isn't 53.5, 54.5, 52.5, something along. Like it's sitting up 49 flat right now.
The weather is very mild in Kansas.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't understand this.
Non-factor.
Weird, spooky. It's a little spooky that it's 49. Yeah. Somebody's formula might have something that I don't know.
Some algorithm somewhere.
Bengals, Patriots, complete stay away from me. Anybody? Nope. Shaking heads. Got it.
Bengals -3 would be my pick.
Okay.
I like the Bengals a lot more than the Patriots right now.
But is that your pick?
It's not my best bet, but I'm just giving, my two cents.
Yeah, okay,
on
you
it.
Like the favorite? All right.
I do like the Bengals -3.
You like the better team?
Hey, you asked.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
You asked.
Keep it moving. My Lions. Who I told you guys, hey, come with me on the Lions against the Vikings. I pleaded with the entire group. Nobody would come with me. I did it all by myself. It's all you. Anyway, that's on you guys.
What?
My Lions, 2.5-point favorites on the road at Carolina. Is that anybody's pick? That game? Nope. Okay, keep it moving. I'm afraid of that one. It's a fishy line.
Oh, I really want to take Carolina.
Why?
Because I don't like Detroit being favored at on the road
I know,
with
in
their
a big
history
spot.
Of the Detroit Lion Football Club. But, man, Sam Darnold's not very good, so it doesn't make me want to take the Lions.
See, I think Sam Darnold is decent.
P.J. Walker's better, I'm sorry.
What?
P.J. Walker?
XFL MVP?
The XFL?
Austin stats are incredible. this morning, again, he tells me from his own football team that Treylon Burks was scratched during the first two games of the season.
He played the first month,
by the way. He goes, Treylon Burks was a healthy scratch for the first 2 weeks of the season. He's the first overall, he's the first round pick of his Tennessee Titans. And he looks me dead in the eye and he says this. And I'm like, no, that's not true, Austin. And then he looks up his game log and he played the first 4 weeks of the season.
That wasn't the exact conversation. He was the worst receiver out of the seven taken in the first round, and Jameson Williams was hurt.
Anyway.
But- Yeah. Definitely was set.
Austin stats are becoming a real problem spot for the show. Like, it's becoming a real issue how, like, I can't trust you for anything. I guess it's kind of good that you're always wrong because it's not a 50-50. Oh, wait, it's just, hey, Austin said it. Disregard it, right? Completely disregard whatever that statistic is.
I'll stand Let's by get... PJ Walker being better than Sam Darnold every day of the week.
Yeah, okay. Again, there's no statistical evidence or winning evidence to support any of this, but yeah, it's fine. But anyways, Sam Darnold has been winning football games for Carolina, and they've been actually a sneaky hot team, and they're kind of around it, and they need this game as much as Detroit does because their division is up for grabs. It's still right there. They could absolutely end up getting it, although Tampa is going to, once again, smash a football team that is not... You think the Cardinals were laying down in the streets while Kyler Murray was there? Wait till you see what they look like with Trace McSorley. Boy, oh boy. I can't believe that game's only 7.5. If that's somebody's bet,
That should be like 13.
That is an insane line. Anyway, as bad as the Buccaneers are, and I know that they've had some egg laying throughout the season, like the game against Pittsburgh, there's been a couple of spots where they've been bad, but boy, oh boy. That Cardinals team is, you know what?
Very bad.
A big bag of you know what, as John Cooper would say. Okay, so Lions, Panthers, you're right. That's where Austin is right. It is historically the Lions on the road to go win, to get into playoffs. I understand nobody making that a best bet.
Yeah, it's not my best bet.
No.
No.
That's fine. They're still my Lions. I love my Lions. I believe that they're going to get this done.
You're staying away from it.
Battle of the Big Cats. I cannot endorse this pick as my best bet. I already gave you my best bet, which is the over in the Seahawks game, but I have the... Texans, Titans, Austin. How many... Do you want to drop some fake stats here for your boys? You got any fake stats?
I think I'm going to let Boffel drop all the fake stats here.
Boffel, this is your game?
Threw Boffel under the rug.
This is my best bet of the week. My argument for it is just, I don't think the Titans are that bad that they're going to lose five in a row, and I think that the spread would be a bit higher. There's a bit of a correction because the Texans have had these covers the last 2 weeks against some pretty good teams, Cowboys,
Malik
and Chiefs.
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis against the Texans.
I honestly, my whole thing is that I think the defense shows up. I think Vrabel will motivate these guys and say, listen, boys, we're not losing five in a row, especially not to the Texans here.
I'm fine with this because the Texans get gashed on the ground. And so there should be a way. This is actually a game where, all right, Malik Willis, you got to figure out a way to run the rock. You got to figure out a way to show, if I'm a Titans fan, if I'm Austin going to this game, I'm praying that I get at least a flash of the two-headed monster that could be a Willis, Derrick Henry.
Get some zone read in there? Oh, dude, JD, don't.
That's what I'm saying. You need to see that this week.
Oh.
This is why I was so terrified about the Deshaun Watson thing. I went, okay, you didn't even show a flash of life against this Texans defense. They shut your offense out to the tune of a field goal. I know that there was rust and whatever. He's looked a little bit better, I guess, over the last couple of weeks. He's made a couple of decent throws. But for the most part, the Texans are moribund. They're horrible. So I don't mind this pick, Boff. I actually think that you're right in terms of a money line bet, even the -165 just for them to win is not a horrific price. This would be a really bad loss. This would be a really bad loss for the Titans. Don't forget this, too. I know we're all done with the Titans because Tannehill's out for the year and they stunk with Tannehill, whatever.
Yeah.
The Titans are dead. In fact, everyone should be rooting for the Texans because we want the fun Jaguars in there over the Titans.
That's true.
No.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Jags. This is a Jags house.
Trevor Lawrence time.
Austin, sleep outside. Sleep in the snow.
We kicked him
out. In the snowstorm. Hey. You're sleeping outside because this is a Jaguars house. This is all for Blake Murphy, and this is all for just the fun. This is about fun football playoffs, and there's nothing fun about watching the Tennessee Titans get their asses kicked.
Oh, Derrick Henry going to the line 25 times a game. Nothing fun about that. Come on. 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
It's Jags time, Austin.
Anyway, it's Jags time. Texans could do it, but I don't mind the pick. I don't mind the pick, Boffel. I think it's a good one. Anyway, next, Giants, Vikings. 4.5 for the Giants. Against a Vikings team that it's not a primetime game.
4.5.
They're not really playing for anything. Thoughts?
It's 1 p.m. This is 1 p.m.
It's 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins. I do have a little feeling of the Vikings try to show up a little bit more after people calling them frauds all week and they had that comeback, but maybe not. I thought it was pretty interesting you guys threw in there from the what we missed, the Justin Jefferson saying that teams are targeting.
Yeah, teams are targeting him. Like, he was saying that teams are targeting him like the Detroit Pistons were targeting MJ. And
I love that, though. Yeah. Comparing himself to MJ is just an awesome move.
It's also football.
Yeah, I know.
You hit people.
Yeah. Like, Justin, like, why are these guys hitting me?
He hit people hard.
I don't know what to tell you, bud.
Yeah. I think someone might have hit him a little too hard if he's saying this. Yeah. You know, he's like going to the media. Yikes. Listen, I love Justin Jefferson, but that's a tough quote. People are targeting you. In what way?
Sir? Targeting you like MJ was getting targeted.
Yeah. Go watch those MJ highlights and tell me if you think that that's what you're getting the version of in your sport, which, again, is a contact sport.
They did lie down on him at the end of the game there to try to run the clock out, and they got flagged for it.
Yeah, but, like, they lost because of that. That was so stupid. That was way too – that was flagrant. That was really dumb. That hurt them.
Well, anyway. Like, at the end, they were just, like, tackling them after the play
ended. They do tell you to do that, though, and they say try to extend – that is part of that. But then they did. They went a little too far.
They were holding them. Yeah, they were just, like, grabbing their
legs. You can't keep holding on to one of the best players in football and not have the refs go, we're going to notice that one.
Yeah.
Maybe although KJ Osborne's pretty damn good too.
I
like KJ Osborne. Yeah. Austin, you have any stats on KJ Osborne?
Austin stat?
You got any Austin stats?
I will say PJ Walker, 2 wins this year. Sam Darnold, 2 wins this year. Just saying.
Yeah.
Wow, the battle of
mid. 59% completion percentage.
The battle of mid, yeah.
The battle of mid.
PJ Walker, that's where you start. Anyway, I'm not taking my claim in Sam Darnold, but either way, moving on. Keep it moving.
Keeping it rolling.
Jobo time.
Yeah.
Saints.
You know what?
Yeah, you're locking it in?
I'm locking it in.
Okay, that's your best bet?
Saints minus the Jarvis Landry Bowl, even though he may not even
play. Are you taking your Saints plus 3 in a game where, do you know what the total is in this game?
It's horrible.
Just guess. Nobody look. Guess. Because you two don't know, right?
I saw the article.
I saw it already.
Oh, damn it.
It's 32.5. I don't know.
32.5. What a ball game.
I'm taking the over on that. I'm taking the over.
You just have to take the over in that.
You have to take the over in that. Like, the Saints, they've been
struggling
lately.
Honestly, I'm making that a show play. Like, if you like this podcast and you roll with us, then you have to bet that over just for fun.
Yeah.
That is the fun Christmas. This is Christmas Eve, right? This game?
This was
December 24th. Yeah. This Christmas Eve. This is a Christmas Eve miracle. Can we get
33
points?
It's free.
Yeah. Can we get, don't say that.
My bad.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
32.5.
Well, he's cursed. The bet is revoked. The team, Joe killed it. Way to go, Joe. way to go. It's free. Is there anything that kills a bet faster than someone saying it's free money?
I said it about Juwan Johnson in a hit.
Yeah, that was your last time you won, too. So that makes sense.
No. I've won
that
since
makes,
then.
That Let's... makes sense, actually, because, yeah, you got one, and then you're cursed
forever.
Well,
I was thinking about the Saints.
All right, make the case. What's the bet here?
That for the Saints winning?
No, for your best bet. Is it the over?
My best bet, the over 32.5. That's super low. And, like, the Saints had a period in the season where they were averaging 30 points a game. They've been struggling lately, but, they have to show up. There's still a chance they can get into the playoffs. Which is ridiculous for them being 5-9.
Yep.
And the Browns want to put some points on the board. Watson wants to prove himself a little bit. It's gonna be a higher scoring game than 32.5.
This is a lot of now. You're doing a lot of he wants to do this and they want to do that.
It has it written all over
free
it.
Free money and the basis
revoke
for
that
this.
I said free. That never happened.
All right, fine. We're rolling with the total. All right, let's keep it moving. Falcons, Ravens. Lamar's back. So it's -7.5 for the Ravens. Seems a little big.
7.5 for the Ravens.
Seems a little...
No, I like the Ravens. I don't think Desmond Ritter's not very good. And this is the week where I think the Ravens start to assert themselves as one of the class teams in the AFC behind the Bills and the Chiefs.
All right.
Better than the Bengals, not quite the next level.
Ravens better than Bengals.
I would take the Ravens over the Bengals. Mm. On a neutral field, I think the Ravens would be... I think it'd be close. You know, I think that might even be a pick'em. But my heart, I love Lamar. I can't get over it. This is a Lamar bet.
Another Austin stat.
What do you think it'd be in a neutral field? Ravens and Bengals.
I think that given that the Bengals are rolling right now, the Ravens are falling apart, and that they have no wide receivers, and that the Bengals literally, like, how many pass catchers, how many options do you have to go on the Bengals before? Like the Ravens just signed Sammy Watkins. that's where they're at. They're going, we don't have anyone. We got Prochet and Sammy Watkins and Mark Andrews, who Mark Andrews has really good games. I don't want to say he's the most overrated player in football, but he is up there. He is so overrated. Like he
drops donuts.
He gets put in the class with like guys like Kelsey, and I go, whoa. Like what the hell are we doing here? He's not that at all. Anyways, no, he's that's not the correct one.
Deshaun Jackson on the Ravens still.
No, I enjoy the Isaiah Likely kid. I think he's got a future. And I like Mark Andrews is decent, but the Ravens are clearly showing that they don't have enough playmakers.
Desmond Ritter is also really bad.
No, their run game has been beat up. Of course Lamar can come and strap the cape on and get them a W. I'm just saying that's a lot of points for a team that hasn't looked great. I like this one. Next. I think the Niners are going to kill the Commanders. 7 points actually feels short. Mm-hmm. I know the Commanders are quote-unquote playing for their season, but you know what I was reminded of last week when I bet on the Commanders and they killed my my parlay as the last leg? Tyler Heinicke sucks, and all the advanced metrics are this guy's one of the worst players in football. And I love him because he's got that kind of like Tyler Heinicke. He makes a big throw. He's doing the big celebration.
Your boy.
He is kind of my boy, but you know why he's my boy? Because he stinks, and he's doing well. And it's just I like that story. That's fun having guys that try to gut it out. Plus, you replace Carson Wentz, right? But now, okay, there's a little buzz in Washington right now of Ron Rivera not committing to the quarterbacks. And I'm telling you right now that if Heinicke plays poorly, they're going to bring Wentz in. That's going to happen
at some point in this game.
Maybe in this game,
mm-hmm.
certainly next week if they lose. Yeah. But either way, Wentz watch is on in Washington, and that is not good because guess who else stinks? Carson Wentz. To me, I think that the Washington Commanders' magic has run out, and I think that the NFL rigged last weekend's game to make them lose. They wanted the Giants. No, I'm serious, and I'm dead serious.
Those two calls at the end were brutal.
They want Dan Schneider to sell the Washington football team. They don't want him in the playoffs. They don't want to see any more of this dude. And so Washington got cooked in that game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they did. Look at though, you cannot, as an objective observer, look at those last two calls and say, oh, yeah, no, that's totally fine. Again, Terry McLaurin lines up on a touchdown play at the one, checks with the official, not once, but twice, gets the nod. And then that same official throws the flag.
He also said, you're good.
Yeah,
he said
like, come on, everybody. That was a NFL fix was in game. I'm sorry, but that's what that was.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a fix was in on the bettors, but I think it was the fix was in against the owner, and it was a fix is in against, Washington making the playoffs with Tyler Heinicke. Anyway, Heinicke stinks, and the Niners really good, and I just don't see how this dude puts up any points on that defense if they halfway care about this game, which they still should. Yeah. So I just think the Niners dominate them. I don't think that this is a close football game. I think the Commanders get absolutely killed, and I don't think that they have a quarterback for a backdoor cover. So, yeah, I like the Niners here a lot.
Yep.
Nope.
I just wonder if Heinicke wants a new pair of J's, a lot of good red and white colored Jordans.
That's what I think he's done. I think he never buys any J's again. I think his J's collection is, you can take a shot, like, you got to be careful with those. You know, you got to invest in shoe care, Tyler Heinicke.
You can go to, like, the XFL or the CFL and get a couple new pairs.
Sure, I guess.
He beats a couple teams.
Anyway, I like, Heinicke's my boy, but you suck my boy. You suck my boy!
Dude, it's the holidays, come on.
No, you're terrible. Anyway, that fumble, that was it for me. Washed my hands.
I'm out.
It's over. I'm done here. Anyway, Eagles, Cowboys, the Minshew Bowl. Well, apparently it could still be Jalen Hurts leaving the door open.
Yeah.
That's why the line just moved back to the Eagles. I don't know. I just stay away. This is a stay away from me. Raiders, Steelers, another stay away. Cannot believe anybody. I will bet it because it's a solo game. It's a night game, but what's your best bet, Austin? Austin Stats?
No best bet, but the Steelers favored by 2 points here. Kenny Pickett's still out, right?
Okay. Go against Mike Tomlin in December.
Okay. Great point by you.
And just to mention, latest on Jalen Hurts, Sirianni said not expected to play against the Cowboys. Yeah. Latest.
Sirianni's all over the map with this.
Like 2 days ago, he said we're keeping the door open.
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yeah, Schefter just came down with it, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, not looking good.
Anyway, I'm not even gonna go over the Sunday slate. Rams Broncos. It's Christmas. Be with your family, okay? Don't. That's honestly, that's the saddest thing. That's the saddest thing.
We're just writing this one off immediately. Just get it out.
That's the saddest thing that a human could do is on Christmas Day. I don't care what your religion is. If you're Christmas Day on a holiday at 4:30 watching Broncos Rams, hey, I'm thinking of you, okay? My heart is with you. My heart is with anybody who watches that game.
I might watch like World Juniors preseason games.
That's not acceptable. Same with the night game. If you instead of Christmas dinner, you rush it, you know, you leave one of your aunts and uncles' conversation to go see what Trace McSorley's doing. you need to
say early goodbye to grandma just to go watch.
No, it's just no. That's not right. Early. That's not right. Anyway, quick break. That was Time for Action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in on the action. Must be 19 plus. Must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Quick break. Let's come back. Let's close this sucker out.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
All right, quick. Let's fire off and get out of here and go on our holidays and AKA hide out in our homes and hope
and pray
that
for the
we
power.
Survive. It's Time for Action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in on the action. Must be 19 plus. Must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Quick Thursday night prop pick for me. I'm taking Evan Engram over 40.5 yards. If you look at what he's been doing lately, it's been getting targeted a ton. He has 32 targets over his last three games, 25 in his last 2 weeks. And yeah, he's a good yards after the catch guy, but most importantly, this Jets defense, this is sort of the way that you have to attack them. They're susceptible to tight ends, and you go away from Sauce Gardner, and that's the thing that you do there. That was Time for Action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19 plus, must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Okay, so before we close out today, I asked everybody what they want as their Toronto wish list. I said you could make it about the show. Said you could make it about Toronto sports, whatever the hell you want. Mm-hmm. Jobo, you want to go first?
Yeah. So my wish list item, mm-hmm. number one, is the...
Number one, wow.
No,
you can
sorry.
Tell you're a rich kid. Is right.
Number okay, one.
Okay. Number one. He's just like, okay, this is...
My fault.
In our household, maybe if there's extra budget, we'll, you know, in our final 10 minutes of
I'm
the podcast
I'm just saying
today.
It's the number one thing that I thought of right away when you said it yesterday, and it's still mm-hmm. number one. The Leafs to wear their reverse retros more than twice. Because they're only wearing them twice this entire season. For reference, the rest of the league is wearing it between 6 and 8. Why is one of the most historic franchises in the league with a jersey that's a callback to their history only wearing it twice against San Jose and Buffalo? Buffalo, I can understand. San Jose? Like, why
is the best job you've ever done?
It doesn't. And like, hey, I'm going to quote Sam McKee too, because I know he's on my team for this. Friend of the show, your friend.
Yeah.
In the words
he's
going to
love this stat, by the way.
In the words of Sam McKee. On November 30th, he tweeted out, "Is it a hot take to say these Leaf sweaters should be their primary home jerseys? Uh-huh. Spectacular tarp, period."
Yeah,
so
they are.
That's the number one wish list.
They're undeniably beautiful, and they look mm-hmm. great on television, and I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know why they don't have
twice in November, too. Like, why are you not wearing them in December? Like, would this not look so nice around Christmas? You have, like, the black and orange NHL logo.
It would.
You got the shoulders.
You should be able to get this. This is a good request, all right? I'm glad that you went with design. This was very up your alley, and this was very good.
If anyone's listening.
Boffa, what do you want?
This one also goes into the sports fashion category.
Okay, you guys, you love clothes for
well,
Christmas.
Well, he has a new outfit every day.
Yeah,
so.
He does. That's true. That's true. Boffo is sports fashion.
This is more Raptors-based, but mm-hmm. also more for the entire NBA. I need to see coaches back in suits. Mm. I think Nick Nurse has some drip. Dwayne Casey had some drip when he was coaching. I want to see them showcase, you know, these suits. I understand it for the bubble. You know, everybody wants to be comfortable. Everybody wants to be in the dry fit, but we're past the bubble. Like, let's show some swag on the sidelines, guys.
I'm good with this. I like when coaches dress up. I think it's a better look. I also think that this is Boffo showing how Italian he is, where he's like, hey, have some respect.
Wear the suit.
Put a suit on.
Wear the suit.
You're at work. You're not at the gym.
You're not at the gym.
It's about the respect.
Yeah, exactly. That was it. This is a big, This is about respect. I respect it. I think it's good. I'm into it. I think that some coaches do take it too far. Like, it's fine when it's a winter classic when they do the whole fedora thing, but every once in a while, a coach always does take it a little too far with these things, and you go, okay, you really are making it about you. I prefer a little understated, but no, I like this one. Austin, what do you want? What do you want for what's on your holiday wish list?
My holiday wish list, JD, is going right after your heart, honestly.
The
Toronto Argonauts sell out their home opener in Toronto for the banner unveiling. You think they will, eh?
Yeah, I
hope that happens from the bottom of my heart.
I'll tell you this right now. I'll be there, and I'm going with a bunch of different friends.
Are we splitting season tickets?
I'll be there.
So, yeah, Jobo will be there. Anyway, this can be an event.
Mm-hmm.
I already bought fresh Argos gear.
What'd you get?
I've bought a couple things.
Nice.
Yeah, I did. I actually Speaking of McKee, I bought us hats. Nice. I'm also trying to get this jacket.
That's what I was about to ask you. Did you get the jacket?
No, it's hard to get. It's not easy, and I'm trying to explore different avenues for getting this jacket. Anyway, Argos home opener is going to be a banger. It's going to be one of the events of the season. Anyway, I really do believe this. Toronto is an event city, and it likes a sexy event more than anything else. That's what I'm saying. It's not. I hate when I say this because I do a sports talk show, but. It's not always like a sports town. It's not always, it's an event city. People get up for the events. They want tickets to hot nights. And I believe, as long as the Argos aren't up against anything crazy, that the home opener night is going to be dope. It's going to be a really fun one. Oh, and then if you just get some people in, some butts in that stadium, I'm telling you. And if it's, it's Jazz?
Dude.
If it's Swag and he's swagging out. And people start to give a little buzz of, yo, Swag is actually the truth, and we got this guy, and here's a hot. Anyway, this could be a thing. Plus, you get in on the older folk by being like, it's Jim Kelly relative.
Jim Kelly's in the air.
You know, it's just there's good connects here for everybody. This is a good one.
Swag, come on the show.
Yeah, anyway, I had a whole bunch of different random things, like a new kid for Fred VanVleet, a new brain for Kikuchi. Better health plan for the Leafs blue line. I had some for you guys. I don't have time. I did have Austin to learn how to use Google.
It's on topic today.
That's very well thought
out and said.
Yeah. A spine for my boy Pete. I just wish so badly. But, I'm going to close this with my holiday wish list for Toronto sports is a splash. We need a splash. The city needs a signing, a trade, a win. It needs something.
A new face?
There's been too much of the same for a while. The Leafs have been about run it back. The Raptors have been about run it back. The Blue Jays, what did Ben say today? They won 92 games last season. It's always about the past. We need an injection of something. I talked about this today, and this is why this is on brand with what the topic of the day was, which is what are the most exciting things that a sports fan can experience outside of winning championships. It's splashy moves. Yeah. It's hope, okay? Leafs are giving you hope with what the on-court or the on-ice product is right now, right? Mm-hmm. But you've got a bunch of cap space for once and forever, basically. Make a splash.
Yep.
Make a splash and give people real hope. Toronto Raptors. You've got a bunch of good pieces. You're not going anywhere this year.
Yeah.
You need to figure out how to make this better. Make a splash. Don't just trade Gary Trent Jr. and have everybody have to do the whole thing of Raptors fan infighting of, well, these guys could take a step and you got to be patient. You got to trust the process and all this stuff. No. Make a splash. Toronto Blue Jays. You got an opportunity to win a World Series. You won 92 games last year. Act like it. Sign somebody sexy. Actually go beyond just staying flat with your group. Okay, great. You went out and got Chris Bassett. That was replacing Stripling. You lost a center fielder who hit a bunch of home runs for you in a playoff game last year and replaced him with a guy who is going to make some, who's basically going to be Kevin Pillar for you.
Yeah.
Make a splash. Act like you're trying to actually win a World Series. So that's what this city needs. We need a splash, and that's all I want for Christmas, is for one of those three teams. I feel like all three of you should just be able to get together in a room, figure out which one of you is going to end up doing it. Somebody make a splash. And if you want to give this show a Christmas present, all right, Hanukkah gift, whatever, what you do is you go to Apple or Spotify, for God's sakes, and you leave a 5-star review, and on Apple you can leave a little comment, and you can bang out that 5 stars. If you really want to help, you see the tweet on social media, you see it on your Instagram, whatever you do it, share it. Give it the little holiday spirit. Reach out anytime. DMs are open @JD Bunkus, Twitter and Instagram. Have a happy holidays. See you in the new year, 2023.